All right, so we've beamed into yet someone else's office. These two people have done a lot of work. What you've learned about a lot already about performance. Introduce yourselves, man. What are you doing?
Hi, my name is Jason. I'm the program management lead for the performance team.
I'm Venkat Kudlur, and I'm a performance developer on IBM.
Excellent. I mean, we've talked a lot about performance. When we first met with Dean, I mean, that's sort of the thing that we're talking about. We have a new JavaScript engine, super performant, background compilation, very nice things. Surfing on the GPU, right? Surfing on metal with the GPU stuff that we have, beautiful graphics. But there's a lot to performance, and a lot of times we always think of SunSpider. I mean, how many times when you think about when they do the comparisons between browsers, it's all about JavaScript speed. But that's one part, right, which you guys know very well. Take us through how you look at performance holistically.
Performance is very much a multidimensional problem, and different websites stress different subsystems in different ways, depending on really how those websites were developed and kind of the underlying characteristics. Do you want to walk through the kind of the flowchart that we put on the board, Venkat?
Right. So here are the typical subsystems in most browsers, and I'll just walk through the one that's specific to IE. Here's the download subsystem that pulls down all of the web pages, the CSS content, the JavaScript files, everything that's referenced on a web page.
Okay.
That's the HTML parser, parsing out the main chunks of HTML. The CSS parser that's going to walk through the styles. This is the collection subsystem. It's essentially building a set of property bags.
Okay.
That will be used later on down the pipeline during execution. Here's one of the stars of the show, the JavaScript engine that we're all familiar with and you talked about for SunSpider. The document object model.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's the glue that actually the JavaScript engine uses to talk to the DOM. So this is our COM marshalling layer that bridges the gap between the two.
Okay.
Our formatting subsystem, this is the one that takes all the styles that were brought down and runs through the object model and figures out which styles apply to which elements. The block building phase, because CSS is a block-based layout language.
Okay.
This is the one that builds all the blocks, readying them for the layout phase, which decides how all of these fit on your screen. And finally, then there's the display and rendering subsystem that pushes it out to what you see on the screen itself.
Excellent. Now, of course, the ones that are in green are what people essentially build out the experience of browsing to some degree, right? And those are the ones that we can really impact our experience as users.
Yeah.
Is that why we paint them in green?
Very, very much so.
Okay.
And also because these are the two subsystems that we've significantly re-architected in the IE9 release. And at the beginning of the release, what we did was we really took a step back and thought about what are HTML5 applications going to look like, and what types of applications are developers going to want to build? And when we looked at these subsystems, these are the two that, in the future with HTML5, are really going to enable HTML5 applications. And that's what drove the re-architecture this release.
Excellent. Now, one of the cool things that people have learned about the GPU is that it's all about parallelism. It's all about data parallelism and all the work that goes on together. And that's why it's so fast and wonderful an experience, right? Of course, that's highly oversimplifying it, but that's part of it. Now, when you have a machine in the future, so you're talking about the future with 8 cores, ton of RAM, 8 cores,
right?
You're going to want the download, HTML parser, CSS parser, collections, formatting, to be concurrent.
That's right.
So let's talk about what you guys are doing around concurrency in those areas.
So we've already had some of this, and we keep building on that. So the download subsystem, for instance, is pulling down some of your resources.
Mm-hmm.
Right, your main HTML page, you need to have that parsed right away. But as you're parsing this, there are these tags that you see, which you know you're probably going to need. You haven't yet gotten to these portions yet,
mm-hmm.
but we already start queuing them off for download. Similarly, the CSS parser is seeing a bunch of URLs. And it's already parsing them out and staging them for download. So even as all of this CPU-intensive work is going on, your download subsystem is pulling bits down for these guys to consume and spit out more results.
Excellent.
Even further down the pipeline, there is parallelism that happens in display, as you mentioned, right? That this is the where we've queued off bits to the GPU, and then we are right back down to processing even more of the pipeline. So that's one bit of parallelism that's already there. And then within some of these subsystems, we keep trying to take the algorithms and use multiple cores wherever appropriate.
Excellent. So now in this, the bits that people have in their hands, because we're filming this before Mix, as everybody knows by now, but by the time they're watching this, they're playing around with the developer preview released, or the developer platform preview, to be specific. Let's talk a little bit about what you guys actually did in these areas, in the bits that I'm playing with right now, because it is faster. I'm noticing an increase in performance. How you went about isolating, what are the bottlenecks in IE8? And we'll probably see some demos of that.
Yes.
And then what you guys did in IE9, at least the very early platform preview, and where you're going. So let's have that conversation.
Well, we've actually made optimizations across the entire pipeline. The two areas in green, though, have been complete re-architectures,
yes,
as we've mentioned earlier.
Yep.
And those really enable the parallelism, mm-hmm, that we've been referring to. Parallelism with the GPU, mm-hmm, and taking advantage of hardware capabilities that customers have, mm-hmm, and parallelism on the CPU across multiple cores with the JavaScript engine and the background compilation.
Totally.
That you alluded to earlier.
Okay. Now, well, I'm going to ask you. You're a dev, man.
Yeah.
Right? You spend your day writing code.
Yep.
I want to talk about this, because marshalling, by definition, implies proxy, right? It implies you're moving things around. So you're using iDispatch still? I mean, haven't done JavaScript programming for a while, but whatever. You're using COM.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about the work you've done in that area with the DOM too.
So, in the communication layer, there are several layers of optimizations we have. Mm-hmm. So on the simplest level, right, things which are not architectural in nature, where we've sped things up. Mm-hmm. The early web pages, the use of the DOM was much lesser. Mm-hmm. So in order to save memory, we used what are called Teras. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but mm-hmm, it's a COM programming model. You know, you have all of these interfaces you implement, iDispatch, iUnknown.
Yeah.
You say, hey, we want to save space on all of the elements because there can be hundreds in that time.
Yes.
And so we'd say, you know, if we have to actually talk to the engine, we'll create an iDispatch on the fly. So that meant we'd actually spend every time script called in. So you could have a super fast engine, but it would call in, and then we'd have these layers of work before we got to the real meat of it, right, in the DOM.
Mm.
So some of those, we've already said, no tear-offs, that model doesn't make sense. Let's move the tear-off out, and it's a QI that directly gets you that interface.
Okay.
There are some other sets of things there where marshallings, you know, you mentioned proxies. Mm-hmm. A lot of what the proxies do, mm-hmm, is take your parameters in one language, package them up so that they can go out over a generic medium, and then, mm-hmm, on the other side of the fence, you unpack it.
Mm-hmm.
So we've made those more lightweight.
Excellent.
So that means you're going to spend less time in the marshalling layer and do the real work that matters on either side of the bridge.
Perfect. Okay, and let's talk a little bit more then about, so the CSS parsing happens after, so this isn't necessarily, this is sequential in some sense, right? So when I, let's take me through, we load a page, I go to a cool website, right? Like maybe Channel 9, and then I load it, take me through what happens, right? So we're downloading the various files all over the place. We download a lot of files that run your tools in this release on Channel 9, and we do a lot of downloading.
So downloading, now, when you say download, sometimes it goes over the network,
mm-hmm,
but depending on what kind of caching heuristics or what caching primitives the site has sent,
mm-hmm,
we might already have that cached.
Sure.
So depending on whether you visited the site before and the quality of the caching directives which the site sent, mm-hmm, you might already have that on the platform. So a download comes in and says, here are your bits. Mm-hmm. The HTML parser picks them up. There's a pre-parser that says, okay, let me start tokenizing the bits that have come in and deciding what I'm going to use to construct this tree, to build these collections, mm-hmm, and what part of it is going to go to the JavaScript engine. While that's coming in, so we've got these downloads ongoing, we've got this DOM tree being built, and then we see a script tag. We see the script tag, it might either be in line script or it might be a script file that needs to be downloaded. So if it's inline script, we stop the pipeline and then say, okay, execute that script because it may now choose to change what's in the page itself. So some of the improvements we've made there, and we've been making those over the last few versions, is what if you saw a script URL instead? While we download that, we block the pipeline or not? And this was a big improvement we made in IE8. I mean, we continue to make those. Yes, we don't block anymore. So we keep downloading, and so that the bits are available, if the script chooses not to use the elements that we prepared, then we flush them and effectively go back to rebuilding the pipeline. After that, once the JavaScript comes in, the JavaScript code is initialized, the libraries are initialized, it's prepping now to talk to the rest of the page.
Okay.
In the meantime, the DOM's been built. If you've got all of our styles, we started constructing elements, you know, assigning them the right formats. And then, as I said, there's the block building layout, and then you split out the first set of things to screen.
Okay.
Now, on a dynamic page, you still have script active, right? So you might have a timeout file that then sets a script that then goes and changes some properties. So that means we now go back to, okay, did we change something in the object model? Did we document.write? So does that mean that the tree changed? If it did, then we go back and see which part of the formatting changed. Is something going to render differently? And then it's back again to display.
Wow. Well, a lot happens. I mean, a lot of us take for granted what happens when you load a web page.
Right.
And the fact that it's happening so fast is amazing.
Right. And actually, that's where the parallelism helps, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you went, you said, hey, GPU, take this, go make it fast, you know, render it out. Let me go back to executing more JavaScript than the page wants to execute on your behalf. And then you go back, and you've actually bought more time to go back and do these faster.
Excellent.
So.
Maybe we should show some of the tools that we actually use
to
measure performance and understand these.
That would be awesome.
Systems. And I actually have a trace that I had this morning. Let me see if I can. I'll go ahead and launch my dev environment and navigate over there. This is the XPerf toolset, which is actually available with the Windows 7 SDK. Developers can use these tools to measure their own applications. We actually have a couple of extensions to it, which are designed to measure IE subsystems specifically, that are not publicly available that we use internally. And for those who haven't seen XPerf, it's an incredible toolset that allows you to measure CPU usage, memory, usage across different cores. You can see all of our WinINet downloads and download activity. We can go super deep down to the microsecond level of kind of the generic events that are happening on the system. In the trace I was doing, you can see that it took a couple of seconds here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and zoom into that. But you can see that each color represents a different subsystem that's being stressed with inside Internet Explorer. Purple is stressing of the display subsystem. Green, stressing of the JavaScript engine. And we can take a selection in time and zoom in, again, down to the microsecond level and really see what's going on at any point in time in the browser. This is the tool set that we use to measure performance across sites and really how we identified where we wanted to focus in Internet Explorer 9.
Excellent. Very cool. And of course, you're writing C++. That's your day.
Yes.
What you do.
Yes.
Right on. So they get a picture of him. He's a C++ developer. They still exist. Excellent. So, I mean, again, just to reiterate, JavaScript engine, the display engine, you will, have been completely rewritten, or completely re-architected. This certainly is rewritten to target the GPU.
Right.
And these guys have done amazing work in allowing for background compilation, whether, in some case, like you said, so if I'm downloading, let's say that the file that I'm downloading is a JScript file that's 250 kilobytes.
Right.
That's going to send some sort of information to this guy that, hey, we're going to want to figure out what of this we want to interpret, what things are actually going to be used, but before the, because you don't need the whole thing to load the page. Again, going to the asynchronous sort of things, and this is work they've done to help that happen. So let's talk about that, right?
Well, we absolutely have a brand new JavaScript interpreter in the 9.9 release, so that we can immediately start executing script. And that comes with, you know, there's many more pieces to the JavaScript engine than just the interpreter. We have brand new type system. We have brand new JavaScript libraries that support the overall JavaScript engine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could go down the list. We have a new regex engine. But
nice.
I think the key piece that you're touching on is really the background compilation, where we're going to use the additional cores that a customer has on their machine to compile the JavaScript down to machine code. And we're going to execute that machine code as soon as it's available, mm-hmm. so that developers have that level of performance.
Excellent. But we're not going to, well, I'm not going to ask this question because I already asked the JS guys, and I don't want you to have to say the same answer. Beautiful. So take what else do you want to talk about? Because I don't want to take
maybe
too much of your time. You're
maybe
busy.
Maybe we should do a demo.
Excellent.
I'm going to close. Let me close down these guys. Let's start with Internet Explorer 8. And this is the test drive website, which for those of you who have had a chance to install and use the platform preview build, includes demos of different functionality that's available in IE9.
Mm-hmm.
One of those, let's see, which demo should be used? Let's use the flying images demo. So this demo really showcases the kind of the capabilities that developers are going to have, thanks mm-hmm. to compiled JavaScript and GPU-powered or graphics. This is probably 400 or 500 lines of code total.
Okay.
In fact, it's all in one file. It's a small HTML document. There's some CSS that formats the overall document. And there's some JavaScript that tries to figure out the next position that these icons should be in on the screen. And that JavaScript tries to kind of follow your mouse. You'll see that IE8 is having a difficult time kind mm-hmm. of keeping up with the mouse and moving the animations, moving the images as quickly as it can.
Sure.
It can only move those images at about 5 frames a second.
Mm.
This is one of the limitations that web developers have today that we really wanted to address in the IE9 timeframe. And you'll see it's really having a hard time following me. The other thing I should point out before we move on is I have a little CPU meter
mm-hmm.
in my taskbar, and you'll see that my CPU meter has completely pegged my first core. IE8 is trying to move these images as quickly as it can, and it's taking that entire CPU.
Absolutely.
Let's look at the platform preview. And again, we're on the same test drive site. We'll take a look at that same image, and you'll see it. Incredible responsiveness in this small application. And in fact, you'll see in the taskbar, we're not even stressing the CPU. We're using about 5 or 6% of the CPU
mm-hmm.
to provide these capabilities. And this really comes down to the two things we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
We're running compiled JavaScript.
Yeah.
So it really doesn't take any time to figure out where should these images be moved.
Excellent.
And we're leveraging the GPU to move the images around, and so they can move immediately. And you'll see that not only can we spin the small number of images faster, let's try to stress the browser a little more.
That's good.
So I just moved from 32 to 64 images, so I doubled the number of images on the screen.
Okay.
And our CPU didn't move. CPU activity is still about 3 to 4%. And we're still up at 65 frames a second. And of course my monitor can only display 60 frames a second at 60 hertz. So.
Sure.
And let's try again. We're up to 100 images now.
Nice.
Still, we're still at maybe 5% on the CPU. Still at 64 frames a second. Let's try zooming.
Whoa.
The other thing you'll notice is the quality of kind of the composition that's occurring. We're still at 65 frames a second. We're not using the CPU, and incredibly high quality. Image composition. In fact, you'll see the yellow halo around the Internet Explorer.
Yeah.
It's semi-transparent, and it's being fully composed with all the images below it. I love this. You can do, multiple halos on top of each other and see just the further back you go, 10 images back, the darker the
phenomenal
yellow. and look at the responsiveness. Again, we're still not stressing the CPU, so I added kind of a warp speed to this. So let's see how fast we can get these things spinning. 100 images, 60 frames a second.
And the CPU is just sleeping.
It is barely being used.
And it's only being used by JavaScript.
Exactly. It's really only being used by JavaScript.
Effectively, yeah. Just prepping to go back into that
pipeline. In fact, maybe we should show that. I have a trace of this as well.
Do you? All right. We're going to geek out now.
Since we showed the trace tools earlier.
Well, no, geeking out is great. That's what we do, right?
I should have left my clock open.
Stuff.
Yeah.
This trace was actually taken with 256 images flying around at full speed. And so you'll see what happens is happening on the CPU when doing that. In fact, let's also look at a GPU. That'd be fun. So, I'm going to zoom in.
Mm-hmm.
And what you'll see here is this is every move of those images. Again, 256 images moving full speed. You'll see what's happening on the CPU. So on the CPU, in green, we're actually executing that compiled JavaScript. Mm-hmm. So it really doesn't take much time to move an image.
Okay.
In the light purple, we're relaying out the new web page based on the positions of the new icons. In dark purple, we're preparing to hand that off to the GPU. In the yellow, we're handing it off to the GPU. And then you can see that the CPU is kind of bored.
Yeah.
We're hardly pushing the CPU here. Yeah. And so we almost sleep while we wait for that next move.
Nice.
And you can see right where we hand it off to the GPU. You can see that as we hand it off, the GPU jumps up to 100%, and then the GPU it sits there and waits for probably 90% of the time until the next move comes through.
Excellent.
And one of the things that really excites me is, you know, you've seen the little flying images demo that we put together.
Yes.
Really thinking through what developers are going to be able to do with this platform.
Yeah.
How are they going to use this CPU time? How are they going to use this GPU time to really create those next generation of HTML5 application experiences?
It's amazing. I mean, in some sense, it seems like Venkat's days of writing C++ are going to be shortened, man. You're going to be writing HTML and JavaScript in no time. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing, you guys. Great work.
Thank you.
And can we pan over here one more time? Of course, we have the great Michael O'Neill behind camera. And just take a look at this. You guys have done a lot of work in each one of these buckets. It's amazing. And just so people understand what happens when you go to a web page, there's a lot of logic and execution that's happening. And it's amazing what you guys are doing with farming off the GPU. So nice work, Matt.
Thank you very much.
Nice to meet you guys. Bingo.